know that there was a huge response to Brendan's interview with Greta Thunberg last week, and it's not just Greta. Youth climate activism is certainly alive and well in this country, and I'm now joined on the line now by two young Irish activists who are at the COP27 summit in Egypt, Ilan Carter-Stitch and Jenny Salmon. You're both welcome to the programme. I might start with you, Ilan. You are Ireland's first official climate youth delegate. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Hi. Yeah, so it's a huge honour. It's the first time that we've had an official youth delegate on the delegation. So we do have lots of youth over here, but it's a really different experience to be actually on the delegation and to be able to experience the negotiations and the different meetings that go on. I think there's a lot of issues that are very pressing for youth, and I think having youth representation here in an official capacity is really, really important.
Yeah, because you're actually part of the Department of Environment's negotiating team. You're representing them there. It was different, Ilan, from your experience last year at COP26 in Glasgow, because you were with, I think you were with an NGO last year, was it?
Yeah, last year I was with Eco-UNESCO, so it was a completely different experience. You know, sometimes it almost feels like there's two completely separate conferences going on at the same time. You've got all the pavilions, you know, with the NGOs and everything, you know, all the sort of grassroots action going on, and then separate to that, there's all the negotiations, which are, you know, obviously very high level. Last year, you know, there's such a sort of spirit of urgency with the NGOs, and, you know, it's very creative and loud. And this year it's very different because there's different rules and laws around protesting in this country. So you're not as free to do it as they were in Glasgow.
Yeah, and I know it's very different for you because, yeah, as I say, you're a member of that delegation. You actually even got to interview the Taoiseach earlier this week. Has it altered your perspective, though, maybe the complexity of climate diplomacy being on the inside, I suppose, as it is this year, Ilan, and seeing how the challenge maybe of getting the answers to some of those burning questions that we have around climate?
Yeah, 100%. That's probably been my biggest takeaway so far in this role, is that last year I probably would have been slightly naive to how complex the negotiations and the meetings are, in terms of, you know, the answer seems so simple. You know, why don't we just cut out fossil fuels and, you know, have a green economy and do these things? It's very simple when you say it like that. But when you go into the negotiating rooms, there's so many different countries at the table that have such complex needs and different experiences, and they all need to be listened to. So it's really important for the democratic process that happens, and that is a slow process, which can be frustrating because the issue is so urgent. So I don't know, there is issues with the process, obviously, and, you know, things can be changed, but it is always going to be a slightly so slow process. And it is, I don't know, the big question is how do you tackle such an urgent issue with such a slow process,
and with so many stakeholders. Let's see Jenny. I think Jenny is on the line there with us as well. Jenny, you're very welcome. Your concerns first, climate youth ambassador. How attuned to climate were you before you became concerns first ambassador? Because I think it's a year long commitment for you.
Yeah, it is. So I suppose before becoming the Youth Climate Ambassador, I think what I kind of said to them, like in the interview and stuff, was that I really am not an expert when it comes to the climate. So I think that's the kind of approach that I was coming at it from. It's just that I think young people in Ireland, like, you know, I feel like there's a thing where if you're not an expert on it and you maybe don't know everything that there is to know, you feel that maybe you can't speak out about it. So I think that's why I was really interested in this role and kind of changing that narrative. Because if we don't, you know, with the climate, it has to be a collective effort. And if it's left to people who are like the experts and at one end of the scale and just, you know, people generally don't have that uptake, then nothing can really change. So I think, yeah, that's probably the perspective that I've kind of come to the role from.
And what has it been like for you, Jenny? Have you converted to the whole climate agenda very, very quickly? I know you're thinking, and I'm not an expert, yeah, but has it been a fast track for you?
Do you know what? It's been crazy because at the beginning of the week, I think I found everything quite like disheartening. happening. And, you know, when you're hearing people who are being impacted by the effects of climate change firsthand, it's really harrowing, and you just kind of feel really hopeless. Like, what can I actually do? But my experience was really changed, particularly by one woman I was speaking to. Her name's Nessie Ann, and she's from Tanzania, where obviously climate change has a huge impact. And I was kind of saying to her, like, what can I do? And what can young people in Ireland do? Like, you know, it just feels so hopeless. And she pointed to my phone and she said, you know, you have this and access to social media. And then pointed to another 15-year-old delegate from their country and said, you know, she doesn't. Like, it's kind of up to all of us to use the privilege that we have of having access to social media and phones and kind of amplify the voices of those who are kind of suffering the most from the effects of climate change. Because the whole thing is just, you know, just being here, I just feel like, because definitely what Ilan was saying about when you're on the NGO side of things, you definitely kind of are on the more passionate side. You're hearing from people speaking about climate who are so passionate. And when you hear from people being affected, you just kind of think, like, why, how is this fair? Like, how am I in Ireland experiencing nothing, but I'm contributing, like, hugely to climate, and yet I'm not the one who has to kind of, like, migrate and leave my house and experiencing drought and famine and everything. So it's just been so eye-opening and, yeah, a really harrowing experience overall.
And Jenny, you know, for Ireland has a strong affinity on climate, particularly with small island nations that are on the front line of this. Like, I mean, what kind of stories are you hearing, you know, about people who have to leave behind their villages or their livelihoods, their possessions?
Yeah, so I suppose the range of stories has been immense. So I think I know there's a lot of criticism for COP, but I think what I found is that being such a global summit, I've got to speak to so many voices from such a range of places. Like, there's nowhere else that you'd get that diversity of voice. So I think one kind of story that stood out to me, I mean, everyone's talking about the same kind of effect because, you know, drought, famine, everything is happening because of climate. But there was a man from the Solomon Islands, and his name was Saul, and he said, "It's the people's stories that touches our hearts." So, you know, like, hearing each of these stories, like, it just had such an impact on, I suppose, how we view climate and things in Ireland too. Because, yeah, I just think because we're not being affected, it's very easy to dissociate when we're hearing stories of, you know, parts of the Horn of Africa having, like, such bad famine and drought and everything at the moment, or the flooding in Pakistan. You know, it's almost like we're desensitized to it in the media because we hear so many pieces of bad news all the time. So it's really, I think, the stories, like, the personal side of them is what I think definitely has the biggest impact.
And also, Ilan, you've also been, you know, speaking to Indigenous populations, hearing firsthand. It's very easy to become overwhelmed when we talk about the climate agenda and the challenges that we face. But are you hopeful, based on this perspective that you're getting over there at the heart of COP27, about what we could achieve?
I don't know. That's an answer that changes every day. I think, yeah. It depends. You know, some days I do feel hopeful and some days I feel completely overwhelmed. And I think that's the nature of it. I think it is a really overwhelming subject, and I think that it is a really hopeful subject. It's too early in the day for me to decide what way I'm going to swing today.
But I suppose
it's definitely a mix.
Yeah, but Ilan, I suppose that maybe speaks to how a lot of us kind of maybe feel about it. You know, maybe it feels too big, it feels too, but, you know, overwhelming. And, you know, for normal people, sometimes even all this jargon that is used at all of these, you know, meetings kind of locks us out of the conversation nearly.
Yeah. And of course, like, that's why we have our experts and we have our delegation who know how to, like, navigate this. And they're working very hard and it's very impressive what they're doing. But yeah, I think it's a really important role that the media plays and that youth ambassadors like myself and Jenny play in terms of bringing the message home and, you know, letting our peers know what is going on here.
And tell me, Jenny, because yourself and Ilan have that huge privilege of being there at COP27, what are you going to do with all of that learning that you've acquired over in Egypt in terms of bringing the messages and your activism home?
Sure. So I think I'm in a really privileged position in that Concern Worldwide is such a great platform. And, like, with One Planet for All, it's an initiative from the EU. So, like, there is huge scope there to kind of, I think, like Ilan was saying, you know, coming back to our peers and talking is something I think would be really effective, because as someone who didn't know a lot about climate, for me, it was hearing stories that has changed how I feel about it. And I feel just so much more passionate than I ever thought I could be about it. So I think definitely student-led kind of events, kind of educating people on what we've learned here. Because, like you say, you know, being here in Egypt is such a privilege to, like, be at the forefront and the front line, like, hearing from these voices. And so, yeah, I think just amplifying their voices by sharing what we've learned at home is definitely kind of on the agenda for me. I feel really passionate about it. I feel like it's my new religion is climate. I keep telling my friends, they just keep laughing at me and saying I'm such a loser for it. But I really do. Yeah, I just feel so strongly about it now.
Yeah, and it's brilliant because, Jenny, you're a law student, obviously, and I know you're going to be coming into your final year. But Ilan, for you, like, I mean, you're studying politics and international relations. What are you going to bring back from COP27 in terms of, you know, how it's going to inform your activism?
Yeah, I've actually finished. I graduated this year. So I am working with a community initiative called Change Close Crumlin, which sort of looks at circular economy and sustainability in a community-led way. That's really, really fun because, as you said, things can be so overwhelming that, you know, it's the fun events that get people involved, and community-led action is really, really important for issues like this because communities know their own needs and they can adapt in ways that suit them and within their abilities and bring up issues that they have themselves. So I think community-led action is really, really important. So just to keep tipping away at that.
And can I speak to you both about that? Because obviously different countries have different cultures. There are not so many protests, as you both noted, at COP27 compared to COP26 last year. Can I ask you, Jenny, you know, the Stop Oil Now protests, you know, we had over 32 days of disruption. There were over 600 arrests. There were over 100 people charged. Do you think that that was an effective means of protest? I suppose it had a huge impact on normal people's lives who don't have access maybe to hopping in a car or doing anything else.
Sure. So I think, you know, it's such a privilege that we can peacefully protest. And I think something I heard on a panel here was a girl who's doing loads of work in Indigenous communities at the moment was saying that society kind of loves to tell people that, you know, change comes from certain exceptional individuals, but in reality, it really has to be a large community of ordinary individuals. And that's kind of where, like, change is going to come from, because obviously politicians are working based on what the people want. So I do think, like, it's quite reflective of the fact that there is this kind of desire for investment in kind of a just transition and green energy and things, because, you know, investing in, like, fossil fuels further just doesn't really make sense when we have such options for renewable energy now. So yeah. I think the way that people are using democracy and their peaceful protesting is definitely worthwhile. Yeah.
And Ilan, just, you know, because you've been at the heart of that whole diplomatic scene over there, what are the obvious answers, having been at both 26 and 27? What are the big answers? No, an easy question for you before I let you both go.
An easy question.
You're the minister for the environment. You're the Taoiseach of the future. What's the big deal?
I think the obvious answers are probably not so obvious, because I think on the outside you can probably say, you know, let's stop fracking, let's get rid of fossil fuels, let's, you know, stop single-use plastic. But there are reasons that we haven't disposed of those things so far, because there are communities that rely on them that haven't been able to sort of make that just transition yet. And having a just transition is so important that, you know, with things like Just Stop Oil, although, you know, their hearts are in the right places, and protests are obviously brilliant for getting the issue into the media, you know, maybe blocking the roads for, like, commuters who are, you know, maybe working class isn't the way forward, because these people may not have access to, you know, change their ways of living. And it's the system that needs to change, and they...
And it's, I know our line's going slightly. Well, it's good to know that we've got lots of young activists at the heart of that change. To Ilan Carter-Strich and to Jenny Salmon over at COP27, thank you very, very much. And let's take a quick break.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.